about school suspensions, about students being suspended from school. And at that point, it was largely around, you know, is this even effective? Like, what does it work? What does it mean? Why does it happen? What are the rules around it? Current figures have come out. Figures have come out in the last few days on the number of suspensions. And in the New South Wales Department of Education, New South Wales Department of Schools, 63,604 suspension in 2020. That's across all 12 K to 12. 961 in kindergarten. And, you know, 63,000 sounds like a lot, and nearly 1,000 in kindergarten. You just think, what would you have to do in kindergarten to be suspended? What is going on there? Is that actually something that works? And if suspended, what happens to those children while suspended, and what happens next? Malcolm Elliott is the president of the Australian Primary Principals Association. He was addressing this in a piece in the Herald this morning and joins us this afternoon. Malcolm Elliott, hello.
G'day, James. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Is this mirrored around Australia? Have the numbers of suspensions been rising?
I think at the... I don't know specifically, but numbers of suspensions are staying pretty strong, if we want to see them that way, around schools in around Australia, because suspension is part of the strategies that school leaders, principals, teachers have available to them in addressing behavioural needs of children.
Yeah. And would you see this as, in some cases, an effective strategy?
It's in many cases highly effective. The purpose of it really being that something's happened at the school for a child, which has put them outside the expectations of what we'd be wanting to see from a child at a particular age. And here we're talking about kindergarten children. One of the things that we've seen, and I talk about in that article, is that there's been a growth in children presenting with high levels of anxiety. And we've also seen that there are a number of parents who are really struggling to deal with what they're seeing in their own children, including issues in children being school ready, particularly at that kinder age. And by that we mean the capacity of the child to interact effectively with other kids and to really thrive in the school environment. Mm. So the purpose of the suspension is to give everyone some time to replan, make a formal plan with the families, with teachers, and strategies then to be put in place that are intended to help the child.
So when you say high numbers presenting with anxiety, do you mean high numbers of 5-year-olds turning up at kindergarten with anxiety?
That's right. So there are children who are very nervous about coming into a school environment, and in broad terms, they're simply not school ready. In other words, they're just not able to interact with others in ways that we would expect them to be able to do.
Mm-hmm. And are there sort of simple explanations for this? Are many parents trying to put their children into school too early?
No, I wouldn't say that that's the case, but really what we're saying is that suspension is a very clear signal that a child's not coping well in school. And what we're saying is that we really need the capacity to refer children to psychological support and other therapeutic services to assist them in their development, to assist them in their adjustment to regular school, bearing in mind that the vast majority of children who do come to kindergarten do really well. Right. They do adjust. They do cope well. But we do have these numbers of children who don't. And really what we need as a society is a guarantee that we can get psychological support for children. And in this, I want to emphasise that we're not blaming anybody here, but we're short of this sort of support, and we need to assess where we're going with our society and with our cultural goals about readiness for children for school and how we care for them.
Right. Yeah, so if we think there was, say, 900 children who were suspended from kindergarten, how many children went into kindergarten last year?
Yeah, precisely. So that's many thousands of children who've gone into kinder. So the numbers of cases are low, but every case counts. And one of the things that's really, really important for us as a nation and as the state of New South Wales is to say that every child counts, every family counts, and we want the best level of support that we can get for them. We don't want anybody going without appropriate levels of support. And that's really what our goal is, and that's the intention behind our policy position as an association, the Australian Primary Principals Association, is to say that we just care so much about every child that we want them all to succeed.
Yeah. Malcolm Elliott is with us. He's president of the Australian Primary Principals Association. If you want, if you've got questions, you've had this experience perhaps, you can jump on in. Our number to call is 1300 222 702, or you can text to 0467 922 702. Malcolm Elliott, that, you know, that phrase "school ready," I suppose many hearing that, perhaps I only know this from talking to some other experts, that there's a difference between that. You would think of kindergarten as being that's its job, to take you from not being at school to understanding school. That's what you do in that first year. You learn how to line up and how to sit on the mat and how to do what you're told, sort of thing. You know, how to follow instructions. But there's a further level. There's a level you've got to be at to then even be able to be receptive for that, right?
That's absolutely right, and that's where we're seeing the deficit. And we don't want to go into deficit language, but nevertheless, that's the case. And we're not going to help ourselves unless we're upfront about this. And when you've got children coming along to schools, again, in small numbers, but these are real cases, who don't respond to their name because their name has not been used frequently enough in the home, then that is a matter for very serious concern. And we've got numbers of children coming to school experiencing severe disadvantage, and that includes the way they're treated in their homes and the way that they present once they leave the home. And that's a complex, complex issue, but we mustn't turn away from it and pretend it doesn't exist.
Yeah. And so, in fact, is that we used to turn away from it and pretend it didn't exist?
Well, I think that we had this vision of schooling that we all want to have, you know, that human beings by nature, while on the one hand mindful of problems, and that helps us survive, on the other hand, we want everything to be okay. So I don't think that in the past, as a society, we've responded enough to social change. And the presence of the COVID-19 virus has shown us that, in fact, life can be an uncertain and very dynamic undertaking. And now we've got such a complex world, social media, worries about poverty, housing, marriage breakdown, information, the impact of social media on behaviour of children and adults, that there's an awful lot for us to cope with, and we need a lot of support around that, and it's a matter for the whole of society, not just schools.
Yeah. Malcolm Elliott, the President of the Australian Primary Principals Association. Sarah, you've been a primary teacher?
Yeah, great. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a trained special educator and primary teacher, and I've also worked in the early years space in disadvantaged communities on the outskirts of Sydney. I'm really disappointed that not once as a school teacher have I heard the early years framework referred to in schools. Early years goes technically is from birth to 8 years. In the early years space, the focus is on quality of the interactions between a teacher, play-based learning, and the language of school readiness is not talked about for the reasons you said, James, because our job isn't to get kids ready for school. It's our job is to be ready for the kids to come. And I'm just aghast why our academics, I'm currently doing some work at the university, why our academics want so badly wanting the Department of Education to think about the early years framework in those infant years. And I sit in classrooms where kids have such few opportunities to speak because the teacher's main concern is they sit quietly, and in kindergarten, that they sit quietly and they partake in lessons.
So can I just clarify, are you saying that there's known ideas about how we should be handling early childhood and those early years of school that aren't being implemented?
Nothing from the early years framework, which is what preschools are using, that is not translating into schools.
Yeah. Malcolm Elliott?
Oh, well, that's an important point. Those are the sorts of diagnostic questions that we can ask about systems. And we can say, well, is the early years framework being used in an upfront way in the early years of any school? Because, as Sarah says, there are the strategies for dealing with students and the diversity that they have. But what we're also saying is that aside from what's available through the guidelines and of the early years framework, is that we need other specialist support and other specialist settings, therapeutic settings, to assist with children who may well be in that cohort of 961 children.
Right.
Reflected in the last year's statistics.
So you're saying that even if we did have we had good early childhood education, you know, from three or so going on, and kids were going into that, and then they're turning up a kindy at five or so, there'd still be kids that need more, need special help?
Oh, that remains to be seen in a practical sense, but in reality we'd be expecting that to be the case, that the earlier the children have access to professionals who can oversee their development, work closely with their families, the more likely we are to get earlier intervention according to their particular needs.
Yeah.
So that is absolutely something that we would support.
And we were talking about this, you know, during the week with reference to the NDIS. The earlier you get in, then in a lot of these cases, you're going to save a lot of money and a lot of effort later on.
Absolutely. Completely agree. And in fact, the interventions need to start with pregnancy and even while people are thinking about perhaps starting a family. In terms of training for parents, readiness for parents, so that when their little one arrives, then that child has received really, the mum's received really good diet, rest, and all the needs that she has prior to the birth of the child, and the parenting relationship is also very strong.
Yeah. Malcolm Elliott, some strong points. Thanks so much for making it today.
You're welcome.
Good to talk to you. Malcolm Elliott, President of the Australian Primary Principals Association. You're on